Who's the fourth bell for? Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. We're so happy to see you here today. I see a couple of new faces. If you don't mind signing in on our friendship register, that will help us to greet you and welcome you a little bit better here. I have a few announcements, so bear with me. Kathy Henrietto wanted me to let you know that she is at home. She is doing well, but she decided to take another day off just to rest a little bit more. She's very appreciative of all of the cards and calls and prayers. We also have a prayer request from Cliff. His mother-in-law, Mona Pomery, is having some health concerns, and his wife, Marcia, is traveling to go see her as we speak. We will be having, finally, a service of installation right after the sermon for Kathy Sagi. And some good news. I passed my theology ordination exam. So I only have one more exam, and that's worship and sacraments, and I'm going to take that the week after Easter. So I won't be here. Speaking of Easter, Lent is coming up, and I'm one of the weirdos who really likes Lent a lot. So I've been collaborating with my mentor, Rev Deb Warren at Second United Presbyterian, and another friend, Suzanne Good, at Bethel United Presbyterian, to create some Lenten experiences for all of our churches. So each Wednesday of Lent, we'll be taking turns gathering at each other's churches for a simple meal, some mindfulness, fellowship. I'll have more information for you all next week, but I did want to tell you about Ash Wednesday because that's coming up March 2nd. It's coming up quick. So Ash Wednesday, we're going to gather at Second United Presbyterian Church for a potluck, followed by a service with the imposition of ashes and communion. And I know it can be really difficult to drive to strange places by yourself, so I was thinking it might be great if we could carpool, and I've placed a sign-up sheet in the back, so like if you want to go, and if you're if you want to carpool or not. So this is, like I said, this has always been a really meaningful time of the church year for me. So I'm really excited about some of the plans that we have in store. I might be working on a travel labyrinth that we can keep afterwards. So that'd be kind of fun. Last announcement is that the craft fair and bake sale is coming up on March 19th. So just be aware of that. And any donations of baked goods is very much appreciated. And if you want more information, you can talk to BJ. No?
Yeah.
Okay. whether she wants you to talk to her or not, you can talk to BJ. All right. Are there any other announcements? Anything else that I missed? Here. Women's Association next week before worship? 9:30? Yeah. Okay, Women's Association meeting next week at 9:30. Arlie.
The sign-up sheet for altar flowers has been updated from 2020 to 2022. So thank you, Carol. If anyone wants altar flowers, the sign-up sheet is current and it's on the bulletin board back there.
Okay, so altar flower sign-up sheet is now current. We've jumped 2 years, and so if you would like to sign up for altar flowers, that sign-up sheet is back there as well. All right. Anything else? With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. How can the dead be raised to life? The single grain of wheat that falls to the earth will die. But when it does, it will come to life again and bear much fruit for the kingdom of God. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn. Let us confess our sins as an offering of our trust in God's love and forgiveness for us. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your ways or trusted your promises. We love only those who love us. We show kindness only to those who are kind to us. We give only when we expect to receive. Forgive us, Lord. Fill our hearts with your selfless love. Change our lives by your matchless grace. Children of the Most High God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have received grace in good measure, spilling out and running over. You have been forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Now and ever shall be.
Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem, the Hymn of Promise. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy. Holy God, your cross stands before us as a light that shows us our failures and our salvation through your Son. We thank you for forgiving us and for coming among us to heal our pain and resentments. We yearn for your word and praise you for your love. You who preserves life, who sends among your people caretakers and peacemakers, who gives us scientists and inventors, give your people new eyes to behold the needs of your creation. Lead us into fields of wheat and pools of clean water. Shelter the earth with clouds, nurture the soil with sun. Make our gratitude so profound that with joy we will love and guard what you have created for our very lives. O giver, our prayer that groans within us, teach us to pray for our enemies. Be with them, guard them from harm, and guide them in the way of your light. Save us from self-righteousness and help us to begin our lives anew. Heal the nations, mighty Lord. Rain peace on all people. Give hope to the hopeless and love to the lonely. Surprise the leaders of all nations with your joy. For the people of Ukraine and Russia, we cry out for reconciliation and plenty. We beg comfort for the sick, O God, especially Mona Pomeroy. We also ask for safe travels for Marcia as she visits with her mother. We also ask for prayers for Mary Hauser, my mom, who will be visiting with a neurosurgeon tomorrow. Make whole the broken, make wise the foolish, humble the powerful, make glad the hearts of those who tend our loved ones, and for any who are in pain, give them release and rest. Savior of the world, we give you thanks for our answered praise, especially the successful surgery and restful healing for Kathy Henrietto. We give you thanks for the church, for the meek, for the courageous, for those who teach us how to wait. Trusting in the mercy of your never-failing wisdom, we commend into your hands all for whom we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join with singing the hymn of meditation, Because He Lives.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We've come to the time in our service where it is in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have been given, that we now return to God our tithes and offerings in order that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. God, you have given us the land in which to grow and thrive. Make our thanksgiving bloom forth into the lives of others in the name of the one who gave everything to us. Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading comes from Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 38 and 42 through 50. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, and it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. Sorry, this is a tough one for me. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as heavenly man, so also those who are in heaven. And I don't have my Bible. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. I declare to you, my brothers and my sisters, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does that perishable inherit the imperishable. May God bless the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, by your word you provide all we need for salvation, for wholeness, for abundant life. Now draw us close in your spirit so that we may discover your will and live according to your purposes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I had a really hard time with this passage, and I think in resurrection in general is a pretty difficult concept for me to wrap my head around. So I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen a resurrected body. I did spend about 10 years working in the medical field, doctor's offices and an ICU, cardiac care, and an emergency room. And I have seen several people resuscitated. But that's not quite the same thing as resurrected. But yeah, like Jesus was resurrected. And we just said in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the resurrection of the body. But like, have you ever really sat down to really think about what that means? There were obviously people in Corinth that needed some clarification there too. Maybe you remember from last week, I talked about some of those tensions in the church at Corinth. And this whole resurrection idea was another thing that Paul needed to address. Those same Corinthian Christians who believed they had been given divine power to speak to angels and to perform miracles, well, they just found this concept of resurrection to be a stretch too far. There are a few ways to explain why there was debate surrounding the bodily resurrection. For one thing, Corinthians claimed that, not all of them, some Corinthians claimed that they had already experienced a spiritual resurrection, and because of the gifts that they had, that was proof that they had experienced that spiritual resurrection. So what need did they have of a bodily resurrection? And it's also possible that Hellenistic thought sort of infiltrated into the church at Corinth. Basically, that thought is that the body is corrupt. Bodies break down, they decay, they should just be left behind. I'm sort of thinking that they envisioned what I think like The Walking Dead or like World War Z, these reanimated sort of rotten corpses traipsing around, and that just seems gross. And besides, you know, like if you want spiritual enlightenment, that spiritual enlightenment is the highest of all values. Why would you even want a body? And finally, there's the chance that they didn't doubt the resurrection of Christ, but that was a one-time thing, just between God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. So are there all these possible reasons why the people in Corinth might have rejected bodily resurrection? And then someone asks, how are dead bodies raised? And with what kind of body do they come? I think that's a good question, quite honestly. But Paul is not impressed with this line of question. I can see like eyes twitching, grinding his teeth, his quill snaps and the ink just splatters all over the parchment as he writes, "Fool!" There are people. These are the people that Paul has labored with and loves, but his patience is wearing thin. There are these petty squabbles that are threatening to just dismember the community. And keep in mind, this is chapter 15 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. These people had received the gospel as Paul preached it, but over time and in his absence, they have materially changed everything, especially in regard to the doctrine of resurrection. So I mentioned that there is a difference between resuscitation and resurrection. So resuscitation is more of this like reanimation, and it only raises the person in that same old mortal body in which they died. But resurrection is a whole new glorified spiritual body. Paul uses the image of sowing and reaping to get a better glimpse of resurrection. full disclosure, my thumb is much closer to brown than green. So my understanding of gardening and agriculture are not top-notch, but I know that there are several of you here who are great landscapers and gardeners. I still think that I get what Paul is saying here. So first, he likens a seed in the ground to death. And before that seed can be raised to life, it must die in the ground. And secondly, while there is a continuity between the seed and the plant that comes to life, there's also a transformation of that seed that was sown. What you placed in the ground doesn't look anything like what has grown. For the most part, I know there are exceptions, but just follow me here. Now, I think that there are plenty of you here who can identify seeds. And maybe you can look at a seed and know exactly what it will look like when it sprouts and flowers. Or maybe you'll know at least like approximately what the plant will look like. But I don't think, I'd hesitate to say that you'd be able to tell the color of the plant or the number of flowers. Again, with very few exceptions, I cannot predict any of those things. But I do know that within each and every seed, God has placed the design of a plant. And when that seed is tended and given nutritious soil and adequate water and sunlight, that seed that has been buried underground rises and blooms. Paul says the resurrection of the body is a lot like this. After the dead body is planted in the ground, each of us will receive a new body. However, the physical attributes of a human's natural body can't really tell us anything about the spiritual body that will be raised. Much like my inability to tell you what kind of plant will grow from a specific seed, we don't really know what a new resurrected body will look or feel like. But we do know it will be glorious, and it will be beautiful, and it will be imperishable. The first human being, Adam, that's a living being, a natural life, a natural body. And the last Adam, that's Christ. Christ gives life. Human beings, the first Adam, were made from dust and given life. But Jesus is from heaven and gives life. Christ is the model for our resurrection. Christ's resurrected body is both like and unlike his earthly body. He was recognizable to his followers, but also transformed. So similarly, our resurrected bodies will be identifiable, but transformed from the dusty image of Adam and into the heavenly image of Christ. At the end of the passage, Paul asserts that resurrection will not involve flesh and blood. And I don't know about you, but it comes as a relief to me because I've seen way too many zombie movies and it just doesn't look like fun. And for Paul, embodied life doesn't have to mean flesh. You know, a lot has happened since Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We know a lot more about life and death. I don't think we worry quite as much about what happens to our physical bodies at the point of death. So maybe we don't have to be so tied up in Paul's biology lesson here. Like maybe it's just enough for us to believe that resurrection happens. Resurrection still requires every ounce of belief that I have because it goes against everything that I can like mentally comprehend. It's just so hard to believe in the power of God sometimes. But when I see little signs of resurrection around me in everyday life, it helps me find the faith to trust God in the bigger things. All of nature cries out that there is resurrection. The seeds that produce a delicious garden or beautiful flowers or large shady trees, the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly, the water beetles that become dragonflies. We can see signs of resurrection every time we engage with others to reduce pain and hurt in the world. We move closer to the hope of resurrection when we show compassion and recognize that compassion as God's movement in our lives. So as you green thumbs get ready to plan your gardens over the next few months, as you find those dusty seeds, and you plant them in the dirt, and you nurture them, think of the resurrected body. Be reminded of God's creative and transformative power that's revealed all around us, and anticipate Christ's redemptive power to restore brokenness and bring about new life in our lives. Thanks be to God. So, as I mentioned, we have, abrupt transition. We do have an installation to do today for Kathy Segi and her time in as a deacon. So let me get things adjusted here. All right. So I'm going to ask our clerk of session, Cliff Huff, to come up, and Kathy Segi, who is to be installed, to come forward. I'm just going to make a brief statement on ordination. We are called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. And this is a common calling to be disciples and servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us. Through ordination, God provides for acts of care and compassion in the world, for the ordering and governance of the church, and for the preaching of the word and celebration of the sacraments. And Cliff, this is your turn.
The session is called to act of service for those who have been previously ordained, Deacon Kathy Segi.
Okay, Kathy, please face the court, the congregation.
Blech, blech.
In accordance with the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church USA, there are a few questions I need to ask of you. Okay, so please answer with "I do" or "I will," if they're honest. So, Kathy, do you trust in Jesus Christ your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what scriptures lead us to believe? And do you and will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline?
I will.
Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I will.
Will you pray for and seek to serve people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
I will.
Okay. And a special question just for deacons. Kathy, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
Now that the officers have answered your questions, we the congregation question to answer as well. Do we, the members of Glenshaw Valley Church, accept Kathy as a deacon chosen by God through the voice of the congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
Do we agree to pray for them, to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow their guidance, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
So because Kathy has been ordained to this office in the past, we do not need to lay on hands. Once ordained, always ordained. I would, however, like to say just a brief prayer for you. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we give thanks for your servant, Kathy, as she continues in the ministry to which you have called her. Help her to rely on the gifts of your Spirit and to follow Christ faithfully in this calling. Give her a spirit of truthfulness that she may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Loving God, pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain your church in ministry. Ground us in the gospel. Secure in our hope in Christ. Strengthen our service to the outcast and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Kathy Sege, you are now a deacon and installed to the ministry of service in the Church of Jesus Christ and for this congregation. Let us all welcome our new deacon. Thank you, Kathy. All right, after all of that excitement, let us rise as we're able and join in our closing hymn, The Day of Resurrection, number 233. Before we leave from this place, let me offer a blessing. Go now and give your life to the Lord. Trust in God and do good. Love and bless everyone, even your enemies. Do not judge others, but be merciful and generous to all. And may God be quick to act on your behalf. May Christ Jesus raise you to new and everlasting life. And may the Holy Spirit go before you to prepare a place for you and provide for you. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.